On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. You know what we do on Wednesday nights. Same thing as we do every night. A lot to take over the world. Nah, kidding. No, but we've got some religious fun for you tonight. It is prayer meeting night after all. We got some fun that I've been saving from our old pal Pat Robertson. he's decided that racial suicide is being committed in Western Europe. Yeah, now you can do it, Agnes. Now you can do it. There we go. Okay.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, well, okay. You know, sometimes the flow is a little bit off. What are you going to do? We were a little addled getting in here to get started this evening. Because, among other things, and I'm not doing anything wrong by this, I want to publicly wish a very, very, very happy 12th birthday to our darling daughter. And a very happy birthday, unless I am mistaken, to our pal John. Hi. Down under in Australia. Two cool people with a birthday today. So, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. If I do any more, I have to pay royalties, and, you know, we're operating on the cheap. I got Pat Robertson, and I've got a little... are you following the asbestos thing in the Senate? Are you following it at all? Because there was some... There was some hell and damnation debate today in the Senate. Arlen Specter up there pushing this Halliburton buyout bill for all he's worth. And on the other end, battling Dick Durbin of Illinois, pointing out some of the creepier aspects of this Halliburton giveaway. It was worth the watch, without a doubt. So, we've got all those things going on. On top of it, we've got a little follow-up. Do you remember toward the end of the show last night, we were informed of the young man from West Virginia, a guy named Eddie Rebrook, who, having had a near-death experience in George Bush's bloody little meat grinder in Iraq, well, they cut his body armor off of him, and before they would let him out of the army, I mean, we're talking about a guy who graduated with honors from West Point. Okay. Son of a fairly prominent, former prominent Republican politician in West Virginia. No slouch. And before they would let him out of the military charged him $700 for having the audacity to wear his body armor and get injured while he was wearing it. The medics, it was soaked in blood, for God's sakes, and the medics, well, I think it was burned as a biohazard. Yeah.
They said it was discarded.
It was burned as a biohazard. And they tried to stick him, they didn't try, they succeeded. They stuck him with a $700 bill before they would let him out of this man's army. If it's astonishing that, but Senator Rockefeller and Senator Byrd apparently started writing nasty letters, and the debt will be written off, and Eddie Rebrook will get his $700 back that he had to scrape up by scrounging from his buddies, if you can believe it. Welcome to George Bush's military. Do you remember a couple of years ago the flap that arose when it turned out that people who were being treated for their Iraq War injuries at Walter Reed were being billed for their food? You remember that one? I remember that one. This is what you do when you have a broken military. This is what happens when cowardly little punks get hold of the one of the most powerful military machines in the world. They destroy it. They don't use it with caution. They use it with glee. They use it with haphazard joy. Woohoo! Let's start me a war. That's what you get with a Bush. And, of course, let's see, what else is on the list? Oh, yeah, the right wing is having a fit about the funeral yesterday of Coretta Scott King. I mean, they are in full-bore kittens with crocheted tails frenzy over it.
It was politicized. How dare they insult the president like they did? Oh, it was terrible. Her funeral was politicized.
Am I the only one who remembers the week-long Reagan orgy? Yes, Bill, that's right. It was 2,000 years ago when Ronald Reagan, a young man taking a break from the filming of Bedtime with Bonzo, walked hand in hand with Jesus Christ along the shores of Galilee. That wasn't politicized? Oh, my God. There's an excellent editorial at BuzzFlash. It's a reprint from 2002 regarding the Paul Wellstone Memorial. Oh, that was politicized, too. You know, us Democrats, we just can't have a funeral without politicizing it. Newsflash. Coretta Scott King was an activist. As has been noted, the week after her husband was murdered in Memphis. Bill Clinton talked about this in his remarks. He said nobody would have blamed her if she had said, listen, enough is enough, I'm going to raise my kids. Mrs. King went back to Memphis to lead the march that her husband went there to lead in the first place because the city of Memphis wouldn't pay its sanitation workers a living wage. How could her funeral be anything but a statement of core beliefs and principles? And, of course, when Joseph Lowry looked at George Bush and talked about how Mrs. King knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction, but that here in America there are weapons of misdirection, more money for bombs but no more for the poor, George Bush just sat there. Of course, you know, we all know he wears that little inner ear microphone thingy with the box on his back. I wondered what was playing. And it finally dawned on me. You know, his mama didn't show up. You know, that hateful old broad, who doesn't want to trouble her beautiful mind with the suffering of people not quite as good as her. And I got to thinking, how are they helping dear leader pass the time while he had to sit there among all of, you know, those people at the funeral yesterday? I mean, you could tell he was distracted. And in light of the fact that Babs wasn't there, and in light of the fact that all of dear leader's hatefulness appears to come straight from her, I've decided it was an endless tape loop of, who was it, Three Dog Night? Yeah, I think it was Three Dog Night. Mama told me not to come. Just nothing, that was just, Mama told me not to come. Yeah. I'll never, Makes sense, doesn't it? So there's that to talk about. A little bit more fun with Bush's budget. We got that. We got a story, you know, we talk about what happened to Eddie Rebrook. We've got a story here about what's happening to the soldiers coming home from this war in terms of their physical well-being. An interesting article from the Irish press, God knows not from ours, a little warning about what's happening to the nation's so-called breadbasket. You do remember, don't you, that last year for the first time in 50 or so years, we imported more food into this country than we grew. Got that. And probably when we come back after this particular break, we're going to jump on this fun business with Pat Robertson. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I mentioned last night in our telephone call, our conversation with our buddy Fritz in New Mexico, I mentioned that this guy, this fraud, his name is George Deutsch. He was the Bush political appointee who was put into, 24 years old, nice work if you can get it, put into the director of communications job at NASA, not the NSA. George Bush thinks the National Security Administration is NASA. I'm talking about the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. He was put in to the communications network there at NASA. This little creep, this little punk, said that no NASA scientist could speak to the media but by him. You know, none come to... yeah, it's Wednesday night. I'm going to use some of the biblical stuff. I mean, it's habit. You know, none come to the Father but by me. Well, no one went to the NASA scientist but by George Deutsch. And he also insisted that every time they said Big Bang at NASA, they had to say theory. You know, it's just like it is with the wingnuts talking about the Darwin's, evolution.
It's only a theory. It's only a theory.
So is special relativity. But it works! So they had to say theory after Big Bang. Well, turns out he's another big stinking Jeff Gannon kind of liar. Claimed to have a degree from Texas A&M University. Didn't. He stepped down today. He got caught. He had the bright, hot, fearsome light of truth shone on him, and like the little Republican vampire that he is, George Deutsch just went and dried right up. So we got all of that tonight, but only after we take a break. And, of course, you know the phone number, 877-443-2366. Use it. Let's chat. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Back in your mind that it couldn't happen to you. You wouldn't let it happen.
Starting a new life, thanks to help, because his help wasn't there for me. I'd be out on the street. He wouldn't you.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so...
Oh,
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Rubber bricks get done. I'm going to let Agnes throw one at me every time I say welcome back. It's like a verbal tick. So it's 24 minutes past the hour, and it's prayer meeting night, so let's start with something appropriate. Our old pal Pat Robertson, the American mullah, the guy who is every bit as crazy as any bomb setting off freak in the Middle East. The former liquor supply officer of his regiment or company or battalion or whatever in Korea. Son of a senator, born to privilege and wealth. But you know who Pat is. The guy who can't wait for Jesus to come back so he gets to kill him some Jews. Marion Robertson. Marion. Sorry. It was Monday during his Christian Broadcasting Network broadcast. And he was talking, well, he decided to get all literary. And basically he said that Europe... Don't ask me. I'm not him. I'm not dropping two or three hits of the brown acid and going on the air like he does. Listen for yourself.
Studies that I have read indicate that having babies is a sign of a faith in the future.
No, it isn't.
You know, unless you believe in the future, you're not going to take the trouble of raising a child, educating a child, doing something. Why, if there's no future, why do it? Well, unless you believe in God, there's really no future.
That one snort wasn't me. It wasn't Agnes. It was his Pat, buddy. Gotta quit drinking the scotch through a straw. Having babies is a sign of faith in the future? Jeez. A lot of the people I know, having babies was a sign there was a hole in the condom.
Bob.
I mean, you know, a sign of faith in the future? I mean, I've heard a lot of... carry on the family name. I've heard a lot of faith in the future. I don't think so. Oh, I want to hear it again, Agnes. Maybe you'll talk in
the
tons
studies
of time.
That I have read indicate that
and the studies.
Having
what
babies
studies?
Is a sign of a faith in the future. You know, unless you believe in the future, you're not going to take the trouble of raising a child, educating a child, doing something. Why, if there's no future, why do it? Well, unless you believe in God, there's really no future.
That snort just got me. That snort just kills me. Studies? He's read studies? Woo-hoo! I want to read these studies, too. Because if you don't have faith in the future, you're not going to take the time to raise a child and to feed it and clothe it and educate it and blah, blah, blah. What? You don't have faith in the future, so you have the baby and just boot him out on the step? You can't you cannot make this stuff up. Our right-wing opponents in America are crazier than sprayed roaches. Give me some more. When are you going to throw another one of them decon parties, Bob? Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Oh. See, now, I mean, I'm a reader. The reading is one of those things I do a lot of. And for the very life of me, I've never read a study that says having babies is a sign of faith in the future. I got to get another room. We're going to have to build that glass booth or something. Oh, wow. Okay, great. Let's go straight to the phones. Our friend Sue is with us from Wales. We're building an audience there in Wales, Sue. Thanks for calling.
Well, actually, I'm a Welsh exile in England.
Oh dear. Well, more the better. We're spreading all over the UK.
Well, yeah, you know, we like to annoy them a bit, so we come over here and live. I think they think we're a bit like Mexicans.
Well, there's a history of being treated that way, isn't there?
Oh well, we are the principality. We you know, we don't even have our own nationhood anymore. We're considered a principality.
Right.
We made them build a lot of castles.
Well, yeah. You made them work for it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you have any form of government, and you've got to keep them on their toes. You know, you can't just let them get on with it. You know, you've got to keep on with them, keep an eye on them, because all politicians are, you know, prone to being that way.
Well, it was one of your own who was, I forget the name, but it was one of your own who said, absolute power, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well, yes, and it does, you know. And I have to comment on what you said last night about rednecks and that. You're not rednecks. You're the most lovely people that I've ever spoken to. You're all so lovely. And I think that you've been the subject of propaganda.
Well, thank you.
I really do. Well, Thomas Jefferson, after all, you know, he claimed Welsh heritage.
Yes.
And that was the one place in the U.S. that I wanted to come and visit. Is it Monticello?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I hope you get to. It is a fabulous, wonderful place.
I'm not flying now.
No.
I wouldn't know where I'd end up. you know, people disappear, and I'm on a list somewhere, I should imagine, because I'm a bit of subversive kind. But this Pat Roberts chappy.
Yes.
Mad preacher type, yeah?
Yeah, he's a... well, yeah, he's crazy. Just crazy, Sue. Just crazy. I mean,
I know. He's the one with all these dodgy mining interests.
Exactly. Barrick Gold Strike Limited, diamond mines in Liberia,
yeah.
Oil interests. There were miners who were buried alive by Pat Robertson's company.
Mm. Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all. He's got the attitude of a typical owner.
He does.
You know, they don't value life. But anyway, I would just like to assure Mr. Robertson that I'm doing my bit for Europe's breeding, because I've got 4 children and 4 grandchildren, so, you know, I've put my 8 in, and I think the rest of the country are doing rather well over here.
Well, yeah, it's not like you quit.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, who would?
But, you know, right, who would? Not, you know,
well, no. I mean, you don't have to believe in God. I mean, sometimes when I see the state of the world, I wonder what I've brought my children into.
Right.
And what we're going to believe in them. But when you consider the size of, say, Britain, it makes sense for us to limit our population, because at some time in the, well, might even be in my lifetime, we're going to have to be feeding ourselves.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sue. I mean, most of the history of the British Isles, by my lights, is it's a study in trying to maintain a population on fairly limited resources.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody when they had the Dig for Victory thing in the war, you know, we managed to barely survive on growing our own food and with severe rationing.
Well, I look all the way back to the 14th century. The whole prospect of burning coal arose as a result of the profound deforestation of the British Isles.
Well, yes, because I mean Wales, for instance, where that was all wooded area. Where I come from, and of course we had in the south, we had the misfortune to be sitting on the the best and biggest coal seams in the whole country.
Right.
And as a matter of interest for you, they're actually reopening some mines over here. It's not been well publicized. I mainly found out because I go onto a forum. The Welsh Colliery Forum, and apparently they're opening a few more mines, but they don't plan to open it for full employment or anything. They're just going to open them and work them one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all kept a bit quiet.
But they're not
renewable energy.
Right, they're not going to let that happen to enough of an extent to allow coal miners to sort of get on their hind legs and unionize, or because Maggie Thatcher took care of all that.
Well, she's not really taking care of the union in this country. They're still quite a strong presence. The miners' union did get too powerful in this country, and they did take it a little too far because they had some very what would you call them?
Overreaching.
Yeah, a bit rabid, a bit like Pat Robertson and, you know, the Mullers. got a bit too radical.
Right.
That was the thing. And they did hold the country to ransom. And but then again, like you said, absolute power. They had too much power. And then they tried to take it all the other way, of course, which isn't a good thing either.
No, it's
but,
not.
But I was listening to that young gentleman that phoned in the other night from, is it Carolina? Greensboro?
Yes, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yes. My word. Things never change, do they?
No, they don't. And Greensboro is a particularly egregious example of that. Civil rights workers, civil rights advocates have been murdered there. And in fact, their own police department is mired right now in a scandal where they were using their own
undercover officers in Greensboro to spy on black members of the Greensboro police force.
Oh.
And to have this happen in the midst of this, what are they thinking?
But it's you know, I feel for you all over there, you know, the feeling of having your country snatched from under your nose.
It is, and they
have found anybody more stupid.
I know.
He's clapping.
Yeah, Sue, I promise, I didn't do it. It wasn't my fault.
There's a
great cartoon at BartCop.com today, Sue, that shows Homer Simpson sitting behind the desk of the Oval Office.
Improvement.
Right, and the caption says, "Don't laugh. This could be better."
Yeah. Yesterday, when they were doing their speechifying and that at the funeral, he was applauding them and they were insulting him. You know, they were telling the truth to his face, and he's too stupid to realize it.
He wasn't there. He had enough of America's best pharmaceuticals in him to drop a rhino.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I've seen some of his speeches, especially when he was in South America.
Oh, mercy.
My God, you've got a bloke that's doing amphetamines that's probably psychotic, and he's got his hands on the biggest arsenal the planet's ever seen.
Yeah, there's a reason the world is the world doesn't, and Sue, the Project for a New American Century people, really awful, awful human beings, they work from the position, they say, we don't care if the world respects us or likes us, as long as they fear us.
Well, I had experience with some of these people. I used to go on to a forum, and it was a gaming forum, and I had been on there for ages. And we had these American, sort of consolidated, and they're these Delta Force people or something. And
oh, dear.
I've been threatened off there. And I just turn around and tell them, I said, well, you know, you people can get in touch with our people, and they know where I am. Come and get me, because I'm not frightened of you.
And if more people had that response, Sue, they wouldn't be in power. If you stand up to a bully...
And that's it, but I fear, I really fear for the people of your country. There's some very brave people. This the world won't wait, and Cindy Sheehan, bless her heart.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very brave people, and they need to get a lot more people behind them, because someone's going to die. I think it's a certainty that someone's going to die, Bob, because I think back to Kent State.
I know.
I was thinking of that the other day. And, but it's got to be peaceful, because otherwise the loss of life would be terrible.
Well, they look for an opportunity. I believe it in my very bones, Sue. They are looking for an opportunity to take a few shots at us.
I got the feeling they're trying to goad people.
Yes, exactly.
It's so in the face. And I really have that feeling. I'm with you on that, Bob. I think that they're, you know, that it's almost like they're poking a stick at you.
Mm-hmm.
They've got you in a cage and they're poking at you just to get something to happen.
Well, the same attitude that resulted in the massacres during the Indian move toward independence, the same attitude that prevailed in the massacres of Bloody Sunday.
Yeah.
This is the same attitude we have in the United States, Sue, on that part of the spectrum. They want to poke. You're absolutely right. They want to goad. They want to prod.
Mm.
And the one thing that should be borne in mind, especially given Mrs. King's passing, we should redouble our convictions to the principles of nonviolence. But nonviolence doesn't mean pacifism. There's a great difference between the two.
Civil disobedience.
Exactly.
Coupled with non-violence. But I don't know, do you ever listen to David Bender on Air America?
I haven't.
Politically Direct. If you get hold of the MP3 or the podcast for his last show, He plays the full interview that he had with Harry Belafonte.
Oh, my.
And that was so inspiring. I listened to it, especially, you know, now with Mrs. King going. But it was so inspiring to hear this man talk, because, I mean, he did so much back then. And he was so brave as well. And he's still holding to the non-violence. He said that is the power of the people, is not the violence. Because the violence just breeds violence and you end up with a civil war. You don't want that, because I've never known anybody slaughter each other the way you lot did.
No, we were good at it.
I mean, you were good at it. Very good at it.
But again, I'm convinced, Sue, that there is an element in this country that yearns for that as well.
Oh, gosh, yes. But, you know, maybe, and bearing in mind that Abe Lincoln was a Republican, I was listening to the Gettysburg Address earlier today. Johnny Cash recited it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so moving. And the words could be as applicable today.
They are.
They were back then. Absolutely.
The question of whether this nation or any nation conceived and so dedicated can long endure.
Yeah.
And that's that's what we face.
You're up against it now, but the tricks that have been played on the public using psychoanalysts. Have you ever seen a program, a BBC documentary, The Century of the Self?
No, I haven't seen that.
I'll send you a link for it. And
oh, do please.
It's about Sigmund Freud's nephew. He was actually hired by, he worked with Woodrow Wilson, Calvin Coolidge. He was the one that made it fashionable for women to smoke. And believe me, these PR people, they've been playing you. They got Reagan elected.
Oh, it's all form over substance from about 1980 forward.
They've been playing it since about the early 1920s,
mm-hmm.
when it first started, because they were worried that the people, that democracy and the great mass of people, they wouldn't be able to control the people. They didn't think people were responsible enough to take care of themselves, that they couldn't decide things for themselves. So they wanted a docile population. And that's how they created the American consumer.
Well, you know, the sad thing, Sue, is they may have been right, because they proved their own thesis in the culture that they have created today. We don't have, there's no getting around it. You and I are talking about the rise of creeping fascism in the United States. This conversation is not taking place all over the North American continent. I assure you, people are far more interested in talking about what's going to be on TV next week.
Well, you know, I do my bit on the internet, but, and I think Air America and people like yourselves are doing a fantastic job, and I can see that your audience is growing. There's a lot of different people coming in now. It's really lovely, and I do love listening. And I choose you over the Majority Report, you know.
Well, thank you very kindly, because Sam Cedar is an excellent, excellent host, and does great work.
He's excellent, and, you know, I can get him later on the podcast, but if I get the chance, I do like to listen to you live, because it's great fun. But anyway, I'll let you get on with your
show.
Well,
thank you so much, Sue.
I chat all night, you know, I'm like that.
I appreciate it, and I tell you what, thank you so much. My goodness, you stay up late for this, so I can't tell you how much we appreciate it.
Oh, it's well worth it. I've learned so many things, and, you know, I wish you luck in all your endeavors, and just keep trucking and watch your back.
We're every day, Sue.
Every day.
And you do the same. Thank you so kindly.
I don't care. They can shoot me in the back. I don't really care.
You know, when they have the most to fear from us.
I've got four children and four grandchildren that are exactly the same as I am, so, you know.
Well, wonderful. You've done a great job then. Thank you so much.
Well, bye-bye, and thanks for the talk.
Oh, my pleasure. You take care, Sue. I look forward to your emails. Bye now.
Okay, then. Bye.
Again, I'm amazed with calls like that.
I've got goosebumps all over me. Now I know I'm preaching to the choir. I've succeeded to run most of the little wingnuts off that listen to this program. Because this is our time. This is liberals' time. This is progressives' time. This is decent people's time. And what we must understand is the world does watch us. We were once upon a time a beacon of hope and freedom. We were the object of desires and yearnings. And for a long, long time, that has been fading, but it was absolutely taken out in the alley and bludgeoned to death in January 2001 when George Bush entered office. And we are being watched to see if we will have the guts and the nerve and the starch and the fire in the belly to return this country to its former greatness. Because all we are right now is a big old bully all liquored up with a big old gun. That's it. Now, it's a hard thing to say to liberals and progressives, but that is what we have been turned into by this illegal junta that is occupying our House and our Congress. I'm sorry to say that, but it is. And the very idea that the right wing and the Republicans would try to tell us what kind of a funeral we can hold for a fallen leader like Mrs. King, how offensive can they be? That's the right wing's plantation mentality again. You know, you understand that. It is astonishing to contemplate. But Sue describes herself as a Welsh woman in exile in England, and of course our friends Andy and Stephen in the UK. It's nice to have that perspective, that point of view. And that support. People want us to return America to her greatness. That's a heck of a responsibility, and it's a heck of an honor too. And of course, you know that. So how do we live up to it? Well, let's see. Start with, I mentioned this the other night. Start with public funding of elections. Start with the elimination and eradication of these god-awful multi-million-dollar black box boondoggles. These electronic voting regulation machines. Because they're not voting machines, they are voter regulation machines. They will regulate how you exercise the franchise, you see. That's what you're dealing with. Now, in the rest of tonight's stack, things worth fighting for. I had a little low grade fit last night on the air about this business of trying to balance dear leader's busted budget on the backs of the poor. You want to hear some of the things that he wants to cut out? I'm not talking about cutting the funding. I'm not talking about, a 2%, that thing where the Republicans say, well, it's not really a budget cut. It's they're going to get more money. It's just not keeping up with the way they were growing. It's, Bush, he's not really cutting the budget. He ain't doing that. He's Christian. Listen. These are, and bear in mind, these are programs that are slated
for elimination. These are social programs for which the Republicans have worked up a final solution. They're good at that, you know. They're Nazis. The universal... Oh, God. Agnes, it's going to happen again. The universal newborn hearing screening.
What?
Oh, you're just awful. I say universal newborn hearing screening. What?
No, I'm sorry. It just...
Comic. The universal newborn hearing screening. That's a $10 million program that helps states provide those tests for poor families, usually administering them before babies leave the hospital. Because, you see, detecting hearing loss early on helps to ensure that babies get appropriate services so they learn and develop properly. We're cutting it! We're not cutting it by 2 or 3.
Yeah, we're only taking 2% of the operating capital out of the main budget. And, of course, we're going to transfer that to subline, subparagraph 2.34C.
No. The whole damned thing gets cut out. Just eliminated. Just ended. You see? Oh, merciful God. Let's see. A federal program that provides life-saving defibrillators to communities. Oh, we can give one to 9-volt Dick Cheney. Breakdancing Dick. A federal program that provides life-saving defibrillators to communities, especially in rural parts of the country. Some 300,000 people a year die of cardiac arrest where the heart suddenly stops. Death occurs in minutes, long before an ambulance can reach most victims unless someone nearby has Dick Cheney instead of jumper cables. Whoop! Gone. Also slated to be eliminated... The largest study of U.S. children ever performed in January. Mothers-to-be were to begin enrolling in the National Children's Study to track 100,000 children from mothers' wombs to age 21 to see how the environment, you know, everything from the mother's diet to toddler TV to pollution influences child health. I'm just reading straight from the story here. I hope you'll forgive me. It's from the Associated Press. Lauren Niegard is the author. Scientists hoped the first births in the study would point towards some preventable causes of such problems as premature birth, asthma, and autism. Ordered by Congress and supported by both medical groups and the chemical industry, scientists already have spent $60 million in tax dollars preparing the study, with waiting lists of families hoping to participate. But NIH, National Institute of Health budget documents direct researchers instead to close the program down by... year's end. Welcome to Bush World. Welcome to Bush World, where we don't care if the little poor babies are deaf. Welcome to Bush World. Do you know, sometimes I address myself to the right-wingers, but like I said, I've succeeded in running them off, so I'll have to rely on you. Do you know any right-wingers? Do you know any of these freaks that voted for Bush and call themselves pro-life? Do you? I got this story from Truthout. The headline was, "Who Will Feel Budget's Impact?" And underneath it is the story. It's two stories together. Underneath it, budget cuts take aim at medical programs. Somebody, please, ask these pro-life monsters how it is they can support a guy who wants to cut out funding for infant hearing tests, please, because this makes me crazy. I want to start screaming. I really, oh yes, I do.
Really, really do. It was just $10 million.
And yeah, I can throw words like just $10 million around when the budget is $2.7 trillion. We're not talking about a $10 billion program. We're talking $10 million. We're talking about George Bush spends $10 million within the first 5 minutes of getting out of bed every morning. $10 million is gone in Bush world before he gets his footy pajamas off.
Bad vision.
This is... Now, we've got umpty bajillion dollars
for the Joint Task Force Strike Fighter Plane Hospo.
We got oodles of money for bombs to blow up more brown people. We got scads of money for more cruise missiles that can make holes in other buildings just the same size and shape as the hole that was made in the Pentagon on 9/11.
But we don't have $10 million. We don't have $10 million for hearing screening.
Slap the baby and see if it cries and send it on home. That's enough.
Golly, Ned. We don't have $10 million for hearing screening.
How quick? $10 million. Before I can get my fingers snapped, $10 million is gone in Iraq. I mean, am I just...
Oh, God. Yeah, let's go to the phones. Sure. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there, this is just hit on DU. It says CNN says that the Senate Russell office building has been evacuated. Nerve agent detected in two locations in the building.
What?
That's what it says.
No further details, of course.
No further details. We'll know more about test results in 30 to 40 minutes.
Well, I guess we didn't catch the guy that did the anthrax job, huh?
Yeah, either that or they decided they needed a little bit more impetus to get the Patriot Act reauthorization. Remember, last time the anthrax happened just as the Patriot Act hit.
You know, you're right.
And now we have the Patriot Act reauthorization waiting this week.
Oh, my God.
If it doesn't happen this week, the Patriot Act falls out of enforcement.
Right.
When the Patriot Act falls out of enforcement, the Freedom of Information Act requests that they can deny routinely under the Patriot Act have to go through, and then their house of cards starts to fall.
These evil bastards.
So, yeah, now there's a nerve agent scare. And
wait, let's see. Iranians.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Or Syrian.
They're going. The crazy people are trying to kill
us. I know who did it, though.
You do?
It was the Duchy of Grand Fenwick.
Inside information, Ben?
Well, let's just say a certain fellow named Mountjoy let me know.
Well, okay, I understand then. Ben, I appreciate it. If this computer I'm trying to work with ever unlocks itself, I may be actually able to see the story.
Later.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, quick break, and then we'll come back. More of your phone calls, if you so desire, 877-443-2366. Pardon my skepticism. Nerve agents in the Senate office building. Dear God. I'm Bob Kincaid. I'm going to try to find us out.
no more.
Second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
I'm just a mess. I almost decapitated myself with my headphones. Slap myself right upside the head with the Sennheisers. Oh, this is going to get funner. You know, I couldn't help reflecting. There's not a lot out there so far about the alleged nerve agent in the Russell Senate office building. But you got to remember that rice is it sarin or ricin? Ricin, I think, is made from the same component as is contained in castor oil. That being the case, pardon my skepticism, but you know that's me. I realized on the way out of the break, I could have been misunderstood, but that's what I'm skeptical about. Be afraid, America. Be very afraid. Osama's coming after you with his castor oil, his secret castor oil weapon. Jeez. Let's go to the phones. David is with us from Tennessee. Hey, David, you're head on.
Come on now, Bob. We all know Osama's a regular guy. Lay off the cat. Bob. Kansas?
I know. I had nothing.
I have vision. I have vision. The Chicago Amphitheater. 1974, I think it was. And on the stage, amidst the fog, through the smoke, through the well-crafted haze of my own, I've got a vision. It's a page boy. It's a mullet back. It's suicide blonde, but it's the satin jumpsuit on the guy bending over the Korg synthesizer.
Oh, you were there, weren't you?
You bet your... Yeah, and if it hadn't been for Rick Derringer opening the show singing Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, I might have left.
I was not responsible for the Kansas.
Well, you know, I've got two of the records. I don't show them to anybody. I got them.
Left Overture, right?
Yeah, exactly. The one with the sailing ship floating over the field of blue.
Charming, ain't it?
Let's get serious for a moment. I want to get really intensely personal. You hit two of the cuts that I am very most aware of.
Okay.
My daughter is a licensed speech pathologist in Shelby County, Tennessee. Those little hearing tests that get tacked on to the birth of a baby are the gateway to finding out about many other problems, developmental problems,
mm-hmm.
in a newborn. It is an ounce of prevention providing a ton of cure. Mm-hmm. And with the strain that hospitals, you know, struggling under the yoke of bottom liners, if that means they've got to spend five more bucks out of their pocket to test every baby, they won't do it.
Yeah, baby don't get tested.
Baby don't get tested. $10 million. George W. Bush spends more than $10 million a year putting lubricant on artillery shells.
Thank God you went to the artillery shells.
Exactly. Oh, ba-boom. Yeah, anyway, so that one makes me insane. And every time I visit my daughter and my world's most perfect granddaughter, I hear about a story from my daughter that testing did for a child 6 months, 8 months, 9 months ahead of anything else would have revealed. Nobody really understands unless you've lived it, and I live it secondhand, what a hearing impaired child becomes by age two. There is a hole that neither the child, the parent, nor the caregiver can see the bottom of. It takes years of dedication. That little test makes a world of difference. Now then, that long-running study for $300 million that was going to check with children before they were even conceived and carry through. America has, by the American Academy of Pediatrics, four epidemics in America. Autism, asthma, obesity, and diabetes.
Right.
Ain't nobody got a good idea why. Because it's happening at ages that preclude it being McDonald's for obesity and diabetes. Nobody's really sure. Societal, genetics, horrible chemicals in the air, no one knows. Every side of the argument, it doesn't matter where you look at the sphere, if you look through it from any point on the compass, everybody wanted that done. Now, why is this intensely personal to me? My best friend in the whole wide world has an autistic son. They have fought against all odds to keep that child in their home. Not a single decision at any time during the day is made without taking an 11-year-old autistic son into that equation. They don't know why it happened.
And that's a hell of an equation, too, David.
It is difficult, and this is a very caring and creative family. I know this man. He and I have seen each other through three bad marriages, two cancer surgeries, more bar fights, and enough hangovers to sink a battleship.
Or a bush.
Well, yeah, or a bush. Oh, God, he wouldn't last 5 minutes at some of the places he and I've been. Anyway, he wouldn't even get out of a limo.
Sorry, I didn't mean to divert you.
Oh, you haven't, because I'm pretty well on point for this one. It is just criminal that a study like this might, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years into it, begin to point us in the direction that would stem the tide of these childhood diseases that is maiming and ruining and costing us 10 times more than the study is worth. What does a rock cost us a month?
A minute.
This is a study for $300 million that would run for 20 some odd years and potentially give us the bedrock information on what might matter, where to look. Pediatricians that see these kids with asthma, with autism, with diabetes, with obesity, don't know exactly what to do. People that sit in the ivory tower don't know what to do. And that's for damn sure no right-wing radio host knows what to do. But no, we don't want to spend the money on that. We want to give a tax cut to a guy that's worth $8 million, so at the end of the year, he can elbow the guys at the club and say, I'm worth 8.7. Thanks, W.
You know, when you put it that way, David, when you put it that way, you just kind of, never mind what I want to do at the club. But
got any hair on the back of your neck getting frisky?
Yeah, I feel like I got ants on the back of my neck.
You got it, and they're biting.
Well, you know, you with the autism issue in particular, there's a reason for it.
Maybe it's the mercury in the measles vaccine. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's complex something another's that seeped into the canola oil because we're the most fertilizer-ridden nation on earth. Nobody knows.
No, but the thing is, when you're dear leader, David, nobody knows and nobody wants to know. And
nope, Pat Robertson ain't talking about it, and Halliburton can't make a dime off of it next quarter.
Oh God, I feel the screaming. I feel the screaming coming on, David. I really do. I mean, this idea that you can ignore deafness. It's a known fact that if you leave a deaf child untreated, that within 4, 5, 10 years' time, they will be deemed.
There is mental loss that can never be recovered.
Yeah, you have to start hardwiring that little brain early on.
We depend on all of our senses from day one. In the absence of sound, the brain does not develop normally.
Right. I mean, the
music is the basis of mathematics.
Yes. And vice versa. I grew up 8 miles from where Helen Keller was born, and I always think of her because she was, among other things, you know, what an amazing, wonderful socialist she was. You know, really believed in trying to make the world a better place. And she recognized that trying to make another buck wasn't the answer there. But the thing is, most people don't know, she wasn't born deaf and blind and mute.
No.
She had, what, maybe a year in the cradle of her mama and daddy talking to her before she got scarlet fever?
She had something for Ms. Sullivan to tap into.
Right.
Some way, somehow.
There was, you know, there was that little bit of hardwiring there.
Just that little bit of experience. Birth, age 12 months. And then it was over, but it was there to tap back into. If that's not there in the beginning, it is so difficult. And there are simple, non-surgical things that occasionally can have an impact early on. It is always better to know of a condition sooner than later.
But not if you live, not if you're George Bush.
Not if you want to make sure.
My God, David, if there had been early intervention in whenever it was that...
he was born, created, whatever. If there had been early intervention there, what might his life have been? Because his own mother has said, you know, I think he's pretty much a poster child for dyslexia.
Oh, exactly. Oh, exactly.
But look, he got to be president of the United States, and he's dumber than a post turtle.
Well, he fell out of the right. Whoops! Almost went someplace I shouldn't. He was born right, and the family had friends.
Born on third.
You got it.
Thought he hit a triple.
Thought he hit a triple. You know what? I was thinking I was going to try to play a little game with you when I called in. I was going to. Oh, it would have been bad, but I was going to try to do my very best Emily Latella imitation, and I was going to say something along the lines of, what's all this stuff about the upstairs cook and this cancerous bones for dinner routine? I don't care whether it's an entree or an hors d'oeuvre, or I mean, can anybody please understand that that upstairs cook should drop that routine about cooking those cancerous bones? But I didn't do that. I don't know if it's...
And God knows, David, we're glad you didn't.
Yeah, because I was thinking, that's so bad and obscure and poorly drawn, you know.
Never mind.
He may not even get to the point where I can say, never mind. So I decided against that.
But we got to laugh. I mean,
oh, please, God, life is... So, Bob, please, life is much too important to be taken seriously. Yes, we got to laugh, but we also got to go to the Democratic office in your county, get some phone numbers, call some senators and call some representatives and register and vote and fight against the vote registration or the vote regulation machine. We got to do all of that. But now and then, we got to laugh it up.
Yeah, because I read this story that contained all this stuff that's getting cut, and I'm not even in the list, David. I'm not even into the list.
Oh no! Oh no! No! No!
I was reading it, and I felt the, you know, how you feel like, you know, when the fever's coming on, and you know the blood pressure's going up, and the little blood veins are popping in your eyes, and you look like you've been on a 3-day bender.
Yeah, and you can hear that what sounds like wind blowing in your ears, and you know
they want to get rid of the
surrounded by red fuzz.
Yeah, here's another one, David. You're going to love this one too. The commodity supplemental food program that provides food packages for 400,000 low income seniors.
Oh man, dadgummit!
A preventative.
That's part of my retirement program.
Yeah, that and the lottery.
Do you have any idea how many spices I know about for beans? Give me a break.
Government cheese, man.
Yeah, no, that my cardiologist would frown on me.
Well, I understand.
I'll find a corner where I can trade it for beans.
A preventative care block grant, which helps states provide preventive health care for underserved populations.
Yep, gone. And that's you were very, very right, and it's very important for everybody to understand. This is not that right-wing, red herring, canard, BS, just terrible little line about, it's not a cut, it's just we're decelerating the growth. No, it's kill it. Dead, gone, no more.
Take it out in the alley and bludgeon it to death and bury it in the dark and still of the night when there's no moon.
Exactly.
Yeah. The TRIO Talent Search Program, David, which helps colleges and universities assist disadvantaged teenagers so they can finish high school and go to college.
Nope, that doesn't fit in because none of those are legacy kids.
Well, they need now. See, they need to get the GED because you know we've lowered. I forget. There's a fancy acronym for it, but we've lowered the standards in the military so that they're now taking convicts and people without high school diplomas. Those kids don't need to go to college, David. They need to join George Bush's all volunteer military.
Yeah, it's all volunteer because, you know, you can't count the bayonet of starvation pushed between the shoulder blades because of his financial, the financial circumstances put the whole nation in. No, no, you can't count that as being any sort of coercion. Yeah, that's a volunteer, right. Let's see, I can starve to death or I can join the army and get my arm blown off. Well, you know, mom gets a bonus. I'll give her the bonus money. Right.
And then you'll have to pay to get out if you lose your body armor in a, you know, in an accident.
I am both. That's one of the most horrid things I've ever heard of. Tell you what, you know, you've taken one, you've got shrapnel in you, there's blood on the ground. Now then, for soiling your uniform, here's a $700 bill.
And it's that, you know, it's that or Leavenworth.
Pay up or you get a dishonorable. Next.
How about a 79% cut in the budget? You remember the COPS program under Bill Clinton, the community-oriented policing services, David?
Yep, 100,000 new ones.
Yeah, 79% cut in that program. $1 billion in cuts for the Child Care and Development Block grant. It goes on. Oddly enough, in this list of stuff being cut, I don't see any cuts in missile programs. Is there anybody out there, David, that thinks that the missile program is not sufficient as it stands now to kill as many brown people as we might possibly need to?
We now have 10,000 nuclear warheads. That's down 50% from 15 years ago.
Yeah, but do you know the flip side of that coin?
I'm listed.
We're building a new generation of H-bombs.
Darn.
I read a quote from the head of the dude at Lawrence Livermore or wherever yesterday saying, "Oh, these are going to be good times in the nuclear weapons industry." And they're going to build this new generation, but they're also going to build a new assembly line so that they're real easy to build.
Oh, perfect. Well, I reckon one of the Bush daughters will star in the sequel to the Silkwood movie.
Not.
No, I don't think so either. Well, I tell you what, I got to go look through a trunk of memorabilia from the early 70s. There's a satin jumpsuit in white I need to dig out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, crank up the Kansas and travel in time, David.
Yeah, finding that Rick Derringer album with Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo is going to be a little tougher, but once the Kansas is on and a couple of things kick in, by golly, I bet I can dig old Rick out of the box.
Thanks so much, David. Have a great night.
Later. Enjoy yourself.
Oh, going to try. Going to try. Yeah. And programming note, we're going to slide right through the bottom of the hour. I don't have a Cup of Joe report tonight. I apologize for some reason or another when I went to retrieve it. Website no worky. But hopefully by tomorrow night. Hope everything's okay with our buddy Joe. To Peter in Tallahassee, who has been waiting and waiting and waiting. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob. Good to get a chance to talk to you. You know, just came up when Ben called earlier. You know, how predictable was that?
Well, especially in light of something I got from our good friend, the other David in South Carolina. No sooner does Hillary Clinton come out and accuse Republicans of playing the fear card of terrorism than they run her out of her office.
Right. What time of day did that happen?
I don't know. Details are so sketchy. I haven't gotten anything fresh on it. Let me cruise back into the email box here and see if there's anything new.
Yeah. When our friend Bruce Birch was in one of the Washington D.C. marches just recently, if you'll recall, there was a scare then. They had a virus or bio threat detectors all over the lawn of the Capitol, and those started going off while the protesters were there.
I remember that.
Yeah, and the whole place is wired for this stuff. And so you know the Senate office building is wired with detectors all over the place, too. And it was just a point of curiosity to me if this just was a little inside job that they just dumped it off after hours or...
Well, and again, I'm not kidding. It really does need to be borne in mind that where this stuff is concerned, a good dose of castor oil will set off a ricin sensor.
Well, yes, and that could have very well been it, but you'll never find out that it was castor oil. These people are so damn predictable. What was the other? You were just earlier saying that this happened the last time there was a particular piece of legislation. What was that other?
Well, that was Ben talking about the fact that the anthrax attacks hit right as Patriot 1 was being considered.
Oh, that was Patriot 1. Okay, that's it. And now it's Patriot 2. Yes, that's the tie-in.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Well, you know, slightly different. I came across a story today that I thought was interesting, and I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. And then later in the afternoon, I thought, well, you know, I might call Bob about this because it is kind of interesting. And then when I went back to it, it became even more interesting. The story about the story is really the most interesting part.
Okay.
And what prompted me to maybe give you a call and the thing was, you know, being prayer meeting night and all that, I guess this article should have been entitled, Glory Hallelujah, the Evangelicals Found the Clue. what it says is that a group of 85 Christian leaders, blah, 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 they backed legislation that opposed the White House cuts to the emissions and the White House being against global warming. And there are lots of megachurch pastors and Christian college presidents. Now, the big ones were noticeably missing from this movement, the Robertsons and the Falwells and the whoever that evil man is, his name we dare not speak, who's in Colorado. And, and there are a couple of very telling paragraphs. I came across it as an Associated Press article. Two very telling paragraphs in this that really shed more light. A little more light on it.
Okay, go.
Okay, well, you know, I went back to the article later in the afternoon, and there was the article, but those two paragraphs were gone.
No.
Oh, yes, from the Associated Press article. So I thought, well, this is interesting. Maybe I hallucinated it. So I went to Reuters, and exactly the same article that was in Associated Press, except that the article, the two paragraphs that were of any interest to anybody were gone. So I finally tracked it down. The story actually appeared in the New York Times. And I located the original story that the AP and the other article were pulled from, and the original paragraphs are intact in this one. And the paragraph is from one of the people who's backing it. So for most of us, till recently, this global warming has not been treated as a pressing issue or majority concern, and indeed, many of us have required considerable convincing before becoming persuaded that climate change is a real problem that ought to matter to us Christians, but now we've seen and heard enough. Interpretation, no, we've been listening to everything the Bush administration says. No, we don't believe in science. No, we don't give a damn about what's going on. But, oh, a few of us finally decided to check. And this paragraph has been deleted. The next paragraph, and this was really, really a good one. This came from a fellow at Wheaton College. This paragraph was also missing. It says, quote, the evangelical community is quite capable of having some blind spots. And my take is that this has fallen into that category, this meaning our not being aware of global warming. So, yeah, hell yeah, they've got blind spots big enough to drive a wagon train through.
Sure.
Sure they do. But you know what happened, Bob? You know that some little Christian right-wing fundy who is well-placed called Associated Press and called Reuters and said, you know, we don't think that it's really a good idea that you tell people that it took a lot of convincing for us to get this, and we really don't think you ought to tell people that the evangelical community, because we're, you know, we get the voice of God here, has any blind spot.
So, God ain't got no blind spots.
Ain't got no blind spots.
You know, most people use duct tape to fix things. God used nails.
Bob, maybe it's a damn bad. Yes, sir. The articles were later edited when somebody read it that thought those two paragraphs shouldn't be there. Those paragraphs were pulled. They were both in the original AP report, and they're still in the you know. And so it occurred to me that, you know, the story about the story is really more interesting than the damn story. It just goes to show you
and
how
it happens, Peter, it happens all the time.
The
memory hole is a crater now. And stuff just slides into it never to be seen or heard from again.
Absolutely. It's just amazing to me. Amazing to me. You know.
And you, by the way, you asked the question
about
when the thing went down with the poison gas. Our friend Lottie in the Tom Hartman chat room said,
yeah.
Nerve agent detectors went off in the Russell Senate office building near the U.S. Capitol just this evening, and CNN is reporting that a first test for nerve agents by U.S. Capitol Police was positive, a second was negative, and police are now conducting a third test. This happened right around
oh, 6:30 or so.
Oh, just when only employees could be there. I see.
Right, right.
I kind of expected that it was an after-hours job. I really did.
There's a lot. It could be fish food. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that sets these sensors off.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just so interesting about the timing, isn't it?
Oh, it's just perfect.
Yeah. I have one other little short story to share.
Go right ahead.
Before I go. This happened, maybe a year ago. I happened to have been listening to the Tom Hartman show, and a woman called into the Hartman show, and she was telling Tom about a news release on the White House, the actual real Capitol White House, a press release that Bush did shortly after he was appointed president. And it was about, we will never have the appearance of impropriety with any of our staff, blah, 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 even the appearance of, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought that was interesting. They gave the link, and I went and I read the little news release, and sure enough, we will never have the appearance of impropriety in the staff. We will always, we were going to recover from this Clinton sex scandal. You know, it was early on.
Yeah.
Early on. Okay. Later in the day, I decided I wanted to print that. I went back to the White House .gov site, and do you know the article has been removed? Buddy, they've got people monitoring.
Well, I got a thing in the stack here, Peter. It does. We could do a month's worth of shows just about George Bush's memory hole. In the State of the Union, we all listened, we threw things, we carried on, we cussed and fumed and stuff during the State of the Union. But he came around to that wonderful line about America is addicted to foreign oil. and he goes on and he says, and we have to find new ways to break that addiction.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about his hydrogen fuel cell car and blah, 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 blah. The next day, the Secretary of Energy or somebody's already out there going, well, you know, that was symbolic speech. That's what that was. It was symbolic speech.
It was symbolic, was it?
And so I got an article in here today, I got to have a staff. I got to have more space here. But some Saudi goon, and that's not a racial remark. I mean, you know me.
Of course.
He's there he is. Yeah. Saudi minister. Saudi minister slams costly alternatives to oil. Reuters, dated yesterday. Dateline Houston, mandating costly alternatives to oil in the name of a cleaner environment. Here's the fun part, could impoverish people and lower living standards, the Saudi Arabian oil minister said on Tuesday. I love those tiny little windows of absolute, utter, unfettered truth that you get once in a while. Could impoverish people, namely us.
Yes, yeah, I bet that article has changed later in the day. What do you want to bet?
I believe that we should not impoverish people in the name of a cleaner environment, Saudi oil minister Ali Al-Naimi told an energy conference. Lowering living standards or limiting people's ability to rise out of poverty in order to improve the environment trades one potential health hazard for another.
Oh, boy, ain't that right on target.
Oh, I love them. I just love them. Yeah,
I love them, too.
Please don't stop buying our oil. We will have to go back to eating sand.
Well, I want you to run a little experiment. I want you to go to whitehouse.gov, and I want you to find an early press release that is so telling, just anything that's telling about the hypocrisy of this. Talk about it on your show, and I practically...
And then watch it disappear.
In the morning, it'll be gone. You're monitored just like Malloy is monitored, and just like Hartman is monitored, just like... The chat room is no doubt monitored. The phone calls are monitored.
Oh, I think there's even a couple of people in the chat room who are the monitors.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. One of them made cracks one night about he had a stock pass. Who is that? I don't know who he's talking to. About it. Had a stack of paperwork on you already. God help us. It will not stand, though, Bob. It will not stand.
No, Agnes says she hopes it's an interesting read. No, it won't stand.
Yeah, I got you. Love it.
Yeah. If we stand up to them, they fall apart.
Hey, yeah, they do. Yeah, smoking mirrors.
You know, our friend the blogger over at comearmageddon.blogspot.com has a beauty out today.
Oh?
With regard to Hannity and Rush and that crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the headline. It's like, guillotine firing squad or
gallows.
for the current coup, you mean?
Well, no, in this instance, talking merely about right-wing hate talkers.
Oh, I see.
And building on the whole thing that Glenn Beck started with wondering if he, deciding on the air that he could in fact strangle Michael Moore to death with his bare hands, coward.
Oh yeah, you'll never see that line deleted.
No. But this blog is just such a joy to read, Peter, because it's almost like a purgative.
Yeah,
you read it and you go, yeah, that would be fun.
And it's come now, Armageddon.
Come Armageddon. .blogspot.com.
Yes, that's easy enough. Okay, yeah. I'll make a note of it.
Go have a peep. I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay, Bob, I love the show and Agnes and I promised myself I wouldn't gush, so I'm going to shut up.
Love you, Peter.
I love you too, and glory, hallelujah.
Yay,
hallelujah.
Brother! Put your hands upon the computer speakers and feel the healing energy.
Hallelujah, we go heal it.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Let's keep it rolling. Let's go to Luke, who's been waiting. Hey, Luke, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How's it going?
Oh, just wonderful, sitting here watching this stuff all day. Watching them try to tear apart the funeral yesterday.
Isn't that disgusting?
Well, the thing gets me is that here they are complaining about this, and what was it, 2-3 years ago, we had to live through 7 days of Ronnie Reagan's
That's right.
funeral. And it's like saying, they told everything imaginable. They had people get up and speak that was like, they should come and just arrest them right then for libel.
Well, I heard it, Luke. I remember it, man. I remember. And once upon a time, he cured my sickness by being. I was a liberal, and then I was healed, and now I'm conservative. Yeah. Oh, a solid week of it.
That's the thing. I mean, I didn't mind it when they gave him 2-3 days of it. But about that fourth day, I was like, folks, this has gone on long enough.
Put him in the dirt.
You're like, he ain't coming back. We're pretty sure now. Let's bury him.
Yeah.
If you ain't, open the box and somebody get a steak.
Bury him with garlic.
Well, the old joke is like about the fella said, well, my wife says she's going to dance on my grave, so I'm going to have myself buried at sea.
No, I like that.
But, I was telling Glass when I talked to her, when I called in, I said, the one that got to me, though, the other day was, do you see this thing with Ken Melman? Going on there, crying. They're all starting this thing now about how Hillary is too angry.
Yeah.
And the funny part was, if you looked at the timing, this is almost the exact same time that here comes John McCain throwing his fit about Barack Obama. And I was just like, oh boy, people in glass houses.
Oh, well, if you could get somebody to take bets in a betting parlor. On some of this stuff. I mean, the same thing today. Like I said, Hillary Clinton says that the Republicans are playing the fear card for terrorism. 6:30 p.m. Nerve agents alarm clears Senate office building.
Well, somebody just left the bathroom door open. You know how that is.
Yeah, I do.
But the thing got me though was I was sitting there watching that last night. And I enjoyed it. I mean, some of those were some of the best. It's like I say. The fun part of it was when Big Dog got up to talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Elvis had entered the building.
I know, that's what I said on the show. I mean, my God, it sounds like the Ed Sullivan Show and the Beatles just came on.
It's like, man, we could just if he hadn't stopped them, they would have clapped for 10 minutes. You know what I mean? He'd have had people standing in the aisles. Oh,
yeah.
But like I said, that's what it was. The thing is, and maybe it's just South North thing. It's like I went to some when I was in my teens and exploring, seeing different religions. It's like when you go to a black church, it's amazing. I mean, when you've never been experienced before,
you will come out energized.
Oh. Well, I would say friends of mine that was talked about. I said, you remember the scene in the Blues Brothers?
Yes.
I mean, that's it. I mean, when Jake's there and he gets the light shining through the church and he says, I have the plan. All that. It's like that's the way it is. I mean, I've been to some of them things like say where people just not doing gymnastics.
I know.
It's just amazing. It's like I was sitting there going, I can remember back when this is going back to the 60s. I said, I was just sitting there thinking, oh, these people, they don't seem to remember. If I say a name, they'll all go, oh, yeah, Reverend Ike.
Reverend Ike. was it Reverend Ike with the prayer cloth?
Oh, yeah. I think that was one of his things. But I remember they used to have him on here like it's Sunday mornings. And, I mean, it was just a treat to watch him. You know what I mean? It was like
make you feel good.
Oh, it was a hoot. you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, yes, indeedy. But
you know, Luke, I think we've got something here that might actually speak to exactly what we're talking about. Let me go ahead, Agnes. Not just a minute. We got to make this whole thing work. Honey, click there. Click. Okay. Right here. Highlight it. Now, play. There we go.
Time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord. Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Yes, I am.
I love the Dream Team. Peter Boyle is such a genius. But have you ever seen the film?
Yeah.
That's where you know, he's mad as a hatter.
The four of them are going out on the little him and Mike.
He wanders into the black church in Harlem or something. And begins to strip.
Yeah.
But no, your original thesis though, Luke, is so correct.
They don't understand it.
Well, they don't. Well, no, they do understand it, and it scares the life out of them.
Well, that's probably true too. But you know, it's like the thing with, well, you know, now they're bringing up the Wellstone thing, you know, from a couple of years. And
oh,
the thing
I know.
Was, you have to remember the Wellstone thing. That wasn't a funeral. That was a wake. I mean,
yeah.
that's what that really was, more than anything else. That was like a wake.
It was a memorial. It was, mm-hmm. yeah, it was a remembrance of a fighter. And when you're remembering a fighter, you talk about how he fought and you talk about what he believed in.
The thing gets me is these are the people over there that mourn people. We celebrate their lives.
Right.
That's what a funeral is. I mean, you know.
Yeah. When my time
homecoming.
When my time comes, Luke, prop me up in the box. Stick my rigor mortis hand out, put a cocktail in it, and come up and clink glasses with me, and remember the laughter, and remember the fun, and the passion, and
that's
the anger,
you
and
to
the,
remember,
right?
Remember, it's like I remember when I was a really young kid, the first funeral I remember going to one of my relatives. It's like scared me, and it's like kids should be taught that, you know, this is, we're celebrating their lives.
Yeah.
You know, they're gone, but we're going to remember what we loved about them. That's the key to it. But a minute ago, though, I was telling you about McCain.
Yeah.
I can't wait till 2008 when we have McCain and Giuliani, and I'm sitting there watching people like Pat Robertson and Falwell and Dobson trying to figure out which one's going to go crazier, which way they're turning, to watch them turn into pretzels. Because, hey, we don't like McCain. And let's see, here's Giuliani with three mistresses. It's like,
and just watch their little heads explode.
Oh, it will be. I mean, they'll just turn inside out. It'll
but they'll start pandering, Luke. They'll turn. They'll turn right. They'll start pandering. They'll start talking about family values. And I mean, it's like this Randall Terry creep. Operation Rescue. Remember him?
Oh yeah, and when they did his disappearing act because he got in some legal trouble.
Well, right. They disappeared him because the National Organization of Women sued him. He settled out of court and agreed never to run Operation Rescue again. And then turned around and, in order to beat him out of the judgment, declared bankruptcy on behalf of Operation Rescue. So then he shows up as the Schiavo family spokesman.
I know. Oh, I'll tell you what, that whole
But his latest incarnation is a real beauty. He has declared himself an expert on Islam.
Oh.
I know. And I had a press release from him the other day talking about how he could explain this whole business with all the cartoons.
I tell you, somebody, maybe I just haven't seen his name. Maybe I've seen other people from his place. Is, have you seen much out of lately? I haven't seen that much out of, like, the southern what's his name? Can't even give it right. Morris Deese's group. Poverty
Law Center. Yeah. They're still out there, and they're still keeping an eye on these freaks.
Because he's somebody. I got his book one time. I mean, it was just amazing, some of the stuff you read in it. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, they're the ones who broke the Klan.
Yeah.
And God knows it was work that needed to be done.
Oh.
Now, where Randall Terry is concerned, like I said, he's declared himself an expert on... He keeps reinventing himself. But he has to, because his entire world is falling apart behind him. After years and years of calling down hell and damnation on gay people, his son came out of the closet. And after years and years of calling down hell and damnation on Islam, his daughter converted...
To Islam.
To Islam.
Well, you know, it's like they don't ever talk about it. or you know, when they talked to him in the press. But you remember the thing with what was the guy's name? Bozell, the one the media thing.
Yeah, L. Brent Bozo the third.
They never talk about his ex partner who passed away. His business partner died of AIDS. Who was in the closet?
Yeah, down the memory hole.
And
probably in the closet with Brent. I mean, I'll say that.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but
it's sort of like when they discovered around them, all of a sudden they just like, oh no, that didn't happen. No. That's the newest thing with the GOP is don't believe your lying eyes. Believe what I tell you.
Well, you know, Ken Melman.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is.
Oh, what's the congressman? Dreyer.
Stephen Dreyer. David Dreyer. He lives with his boyfriend.
And his boyfriend. Like, nobody will say anything about it.
But his boyfriend is on the federal payroll, and he got him there.
Oh, I tell you what.
You know, and that's not a gay or straight issue. That's a filthy front hooves in the trough issue.
You know how it goes. It's like that's everybody. It's like, well, you see this new one that just came out, the thing with Boehner, now about renting.
God.
So.
Yeah, he's renting a basement apartment from one of his best lobbyist pals.
So here's the. The Duke Cunningham thing, it's like, luckily he didn't have the apartment named.
Yeah, I know.
It's all like, guys, you know.
It's endless. I mean, these guys, if they started bailing out of the sleaze right now, they would still be shoveling 10 years from now.
Oh, the thing is, right now, what they got me was, I told Gladys this too, I said, have you noticed one thing, though, now they're starting the 2008 run-up, you know, so who do we want, who does that? Have you ever noticed whenever they run a Democratic poll, you never see Al Gore's name listed?
Oh no.
Mention John Kerry. You know they'll go back. They'll put Al Sharpton in it.
And Hillary.
Yeah, Hillary. But I mean that's okay. She's a front runner, but you know what I mean. They'll put everybody. They'll have a list of 20 names.
Yeah.
But out of 20 names, they won't put Al Gore's name in it because usually when I've seen it with him and Hillary in it, they're about equal.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they don't. They've had it. They did all the sliming and sleazing they could on Al. I think they may have completely worn themselves out with the whole Al Gore invented the internets and the whole business with the Whitewater trip and the Buddhist temple and all that crap they love to talk about him. That was one of the most shameful periods in American journalism, don't you think?
Because like I say, the one that always bugged me the worst was Mike Malloy calls him.
Oh yeah,
you vote Kaepernick.
Exactly.
He brings it. He would bring up the internet thing, and he was the one who was interviewing him, and he knows he didn't say that. You know, when they say he said it.
But Wolf
was the one doing the interview with
him. Yeah, he was, but he's just a sleaze. I caught 5 minutes of him today, just walking through the living room, Luke. And what did I get? He was having a conversation with Jack Cafferty.
Oh, okay. I like Jack.
Yeah, Jack has come around.
He's just a bitter old man at some point. You know what I mean? It's like the old uncle.
But one guy, they were talking about whether this story about addicts being paid to stay clean.
Ah.
And one guy had written in, Luke, and he said, I have a hot dog problem. You know, the guy was being he was a sarcastic little right winger. He said, I have a hot dog problem, and I accept cash, checks, money orders, and PayPal. And you know, Wolf Blitzer is so prissy. He goes, PayPal, what is that?
You're sitting there. He's sitting there with a half dozen computer screens and video monitors, and he doesn't know what PayPal is.
Right, well, you know, and you just know. I mean, you just know looking at him that Wolf Blitzer every night goes to spankmeivebeenbad.com. I mean, that was like methinks he doth protest too much kind of stuff because hell yes he knows what PayPal is.
Well, you know, it's like these people act like, well, porn? There's porn on the net? Like, dear God, it comes on now with your browser.
I know.
I mean, they give you the choice of, like, MSN, AOL, and like, say, the Playboy Channel is going to be sitting there right next to them soon. I mean, it's like, guys, welcome to the world.
Yeah, please, can we have our a la carte cable now? I mean, somehow or another, I'm paying for Fox, and that just drives me nuts.
Oh, I told him one time, I said, of all the channels, if you all ever give me a chance, I said I'm going to drop about a third of your channels because I'm down to a third of channels.
I'm paying for the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Jesus, you know,
I'm paying for like five or six different shopping networks. God.
Yeah, and I don't have the V chip for it either. You know.
Oh, I'm going to win the lottery before I go broke on that.
Oh, I know. That's like this conversation that I caught with Wolf Blitzer this afternoon. They were, again, this story about paying addicts to stay clean, which, you know, I don't know. I haven't read the story. It might be a good idea.
I've seen some of it where somebody was talking about one day, and they said, actually, if you work it out, actually, it's probably cheaper.
Well, and that was the point that Cafferty made. He said, look, you know, this war on drugs, it's going about as well as this war on terror. And... Oh, you know, I mean, it was like, I mean, you would have thought that someone just said, I refute Jesus to Wolf Blitzer. And he said, and Wolf pipes back, and yes, but Jack, we have to fight them. We have to fight these wars.
Oh, God.
You know, another dude for the back alley.
Last time I talked to you, we talked about MSNBC, which I'm now referring to as MSRNC.
Yes.
I turned on this morning and caught the zombie they call Imus.
Yeah, tired old freak.
Well, the thing is, you think like Matthews is bad on McCain. I think Imus would carry him around on his shoulders if he could.
I know.
It's like, oh God, at least occasionally mention the fact that, oh my God, there is something going on out there that it looks very bad sometimes.
Well, you know, I think if the cameras ever went off on Imus and McCain was in the room and they came back on, you wouldn't want to watch.
I don't even want to see this in silhouette. Thank you kindly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hey, Luke, great conversation. Thanks for your time.
Bye. See you, Bob.
Thanks for the laughs.
Bye.
All right, we'll
Bye.
See you now. Bye. And let's see, where next? Rick. Rick has been waiting, calling in from Panama City, Florida. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing good, you?
Oh, not bad. I was just listening to you folks talk, and it was quite interesting. Matter of fact, I wanted to bring up, and as far as I know, it's still active. And if you're tired of paying for Fox, go to starvethefox.com, and they can help you with a device that will help you with that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. It's called starvethefox.com. And the last I remember about it is that they had a device. I completely forgot about it, so I heard you guys talking. I was going to investigate more of it myself. But what I remember from back in October, I think I was looking at it, and it's an actual device that somehow hooks up to your box or something. Or maybe it's a movement of something. But just go there, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Starvethefox.com.
Okay.
And then who were you talking about? Horsley, the mule mounter a while back, or?
In what context?
Well, something about the guy that's saddled up with the Schreibel family.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, that was Randall Terry.
Oh, Randall Terry. Oh, I thought it was Horsley.
No, this is, yeah, Randall Terry. He's, well, I mean, I'm sure you know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is.
But now he's an expert on Islam, and he says that the Muslim cartoons can be understood because Muhammad was a killer.
When I used to have my website, thelastbabylon.com, they and Bunker Babies, I remember I did a full investigation on that guy that had posted, and I got more hits and responses about the story about him. About Terry, because, I mean, the things he's a very interesting, very strange individual. With every story that's popping immediately, he kind of, like, just glams onto it and then becomes part of the story and inserts himself. I remember he was insulting Jews in Miami, and then he went from that to having some kind of very strange, almost like Hitler youth movement, talking about on one of his web pages about how important it was to get the youth while they were very young and to be able to put all this stuff into their heads. He's a very scary guy.
Oh, yeah, and his ability to take a hit and bounce right back up. I mean, he's a weeble.
Yeah, he's no matter what's going on, he'll insert himself and become part of that story, and people will start treating him as if he's an expert on anything.
Yeah, he's like a computer virus.
Yeah, you just can't get rid of him. Now, that another thing, it was that interesting little evac of the Senate building there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember they've done this a couple of times, and just like you were talking about, it's just a matter to get things stirred up, to get things passed. But one of the times they did it, it turned out that we found out a day or two later that all of the Democrats' computers texts were invaded and the notes left behind.
I remember that.
The strategies that they were going to use to combat the Republicans were taken or invaded or copied. And how much you want to bet that when they all ran out of the building, the staff left the notes and the computers wide open?
Oh, you know they did. You know they did.
Of course they were. They're running for their lives. So, you know, I just wonder who it was that went around and took care of all the business and making sure all that information is now on the desk of Frist and everybody else that counts.
Well, sure, and especially given the rather, fierce debate that went down today with regard to this asbestos bill.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you love to know the inside strategy for opposing that?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, they do these dirty, rotten, filthy tricks, and but the problem is they're so obvious, and the Democrats never get it. They never get it. They're like that. They're like Charlie Brown and Lucy in the football.
No, I know, and one of these days we're going to just kick the snot out of it.
Yep, but they get it wrong every time. I mean, they got to ask themselves. They have to ask themselves, how could anybody get in that building unless it was an inside job in the first place? And what's the likelihood? Because there's Republicans in there.
Well, I mean, Rick, this is the same thing as the NSA program. To the same extent that if they are able, let me see if I can say this right. If they're able to listen in on an Al-Qaeda conversation, doesn't that sort of mean that they should be able, they know where he is and they can just go get him and... to the same extent, if these poison alarms in the Senate office building go off and they're that sensitive, wouldn't they go off when the dude walks in the door?
You would think. You would think. I mean, I'm telling you, the way I view this world today, at least our country, is that if that alarm had gone off and if I was a sitting Democratic senator, I would have sat down and said, there's no problem here. And when they asked me how I knew, I'd say there's Republicans in the building. That's all I would have said. We're safe. We're perfectly safe. There's Republicans in here.
Because they're cowards and they run. I mean, they're scared of their own shadows.
Well, no, because they're not going to do anything to themselves. Who's the one and only news service that never receives a packet of anthrax?
Fox.
Yeah. Why? Do you think Bin Laden loves Fox News?
You know, that's the subject of another conversation.
Yeah.
Well, he might.
Yeah, they just might when you're talking LCIADA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's probably what's on. You got to figure Fox is what's on in the TV on the mountable arm up in the corner of Bush's basement in Crawford where Saddam and Osama are playing pool even as we speak.
Well, yeah. And speaking of that, you can't go anywhere here in Bay County that's a federal building that Fox News isn't playing and you can't turn the channel.
Oh, God.
I don't care if it's post offices or any government building you go into. If it has a TV set, it's on Fox News. Even the Social Security Department, you have to sit in that waiting room and wait and watch Fox News.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not kidding you. I mean, it's terrible down here. But so, I mean, the thing that gets me, though, is that the public will fall for this. Like, on their evening news or so, or whenever, they're going to be seeing this little goofy stuff going on at the Senate building. And then that's why we need the Patriot Act, Martha. That's why we need Patriot Act 2. There you go. Bin Laden got inside the Senate building. What are we going to do? Should we go to the mall tonight? You know, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And the next time that these cats do pull off something, whoever did 9/11, I have my own ideas.
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
Yeah, but when they do pull off something, they're not going to cripple what's left of this struggling economy again. No way. They're going to pick some poor town in the middle of something, you know, about 100,000, 75,000, and they're going to kill a bunch of innocent people at a mall.
They're going to whack a Walmart.
Oh, I don't think it'll be a Walmart. You know, Sam's family wouldn't go for that, and they write a lot of legislation. No, it'll be some screwy mall that they were going to bulldoze anyway. You know, that's the way I see it. I can't accept that this isn't all a put-up job right from the start. And so you just think that you got to think really far out. I've always said these guys play the chessboard out so far, it's scary. It's almost to an infinitum, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just, you know what Rove will do. He's going to pick something.
That's the thing. These guys are predictable, Rick.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing secret about that. They can be figured out from a mile away.
Yeah, it's all in your face. And yet, Martha and Ben tonight aren't going, or Billy and Jane aren't going to go to the mall tonight. Why, there might be, you know, Bin Laden might be in there, and he's going to spike throwing Julius with anthrax.
Oh, man, there's a reference. I haven't heard of an Orange Julius in a while.
Oh, yeah, I used to love those.
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, well, I mentioned the blog earlier in talking with Peter, comearmageddon.blogspot.com. There's a paragraph in this in this blog, and just it's exactly what you're talking about, Rick. It says, you cannot go around scared of the what-ifs all the time, and you cannot let these fascists, whose sole goal is to take away your rights and thus enable them to take over our country, scare you into submission. If a terrorist attack is going to happen, it's going to happen. Live with that knowledge, but don't let your entire life be ruled by fear. Do you wake up every day and think that today may be the day you blow an aneurysm or drop over from a heart attack? I bet those thoughts don't even cross your mind, but you cower in terror at the thought of a terrorist attack that may occur 3,000 miles away from you if it happens at all.
Well, they got to at least listen to their fearless leader. I mean, right after the day after 9/11, Bush told everybody to go out and shop.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The money.
Fly to Florida. Go to Disney World. Oh, I remember it well.
Yeah, remember that craziness?
Hey, Rick, such a great conversation. Thanks so much. We got to hit it.
Always glad to talk to you, Bob.
Oh, it's always so much fun.
All right, see you, pal.
Take it easy. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Here's Buck.
All right. Yeah, 50 minutes or so to get your licks in this final hour. Great conversations tonight, and that's what this is all about. I am Bob Kincaid, of course, and this is Head On, our little nightly dust-up. And I hope you enjoy this as much as I certainly do. An update from our good friend Bob in North Dakota with regard to the young soldier, 25-year-old Eddie Rebrook of West Virginia, who was billed $700 before he could get out of the military after being injured, wounded, in an IED blast. More than 200 people have donated at least $5,700 to Rebrook after reading about his being compelled
to pay for the body armor that he was wearing when it became blood-soaked. People care. And they're ready to share when injustice becomes evident. $5,700. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you know, that was a bunch of liberals. It was liberals, it was conservatives, it was caring people, it was people who were horrified that our nation would ask a soldier to put his life on the line and then bill him for equipment when he mustered out. But what the people, you know, and I'm sure there were some so-called conservatives that gave in that campaign, what they don't understand, they're not conservatives. There's only a tiny little handful of conservatives as they are currently constituted and defined in this country. Just a wee tiny little cancerous knot. The rest of us, we're the shirt off our backs types. We'll give, we'll do, we'll go to the extent that it is humanly possible for us to do so. So I wish young Eddie Rebrook well. And I don't, you know, he's recouped his losses. He's gotten at least $5,700. I don't give orders around here. I don't give marching orders. But the best thing he could do would be to turn, once he's recouped that $700, turn that $5,000 around to Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, what used to be known as OpTruth.org. That would be a fitting place, because they're trying to set up the infrastructure that the veterans returning from this hellish war are going to damned well need, because George Bush doesn't give a tinker's damn about soldiers once he's used them up. Not in the least. Story in the stack. No, it's not that one. It's not that one. It's not Congressman Boner renting his... not that one. It's in here. I need space. I've always said I wanted to work from a drafting table. That would be nice. While we're at it, yeah. By the way, Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour says he won't run for president. That crossed the AP wires at earlier this afternoon. I'm feeling much better now, because I was really worrying about that Republican Haley Barbour juggernaut. There's a story, and I am trying to find it here, of veterans coming home deathly ill from Georgia's little blood fest. People who there's one woman who was in the prime of health when she left for the war, and now that she's back, she's had a couple of heart attacks, she's had a couple of surgeries, and the doctors all go, "Oh, we don't know what's wrong with you. That's a debilitating mystery illness." Yeah. From NBC30.com. A Connecticut NBC affiliate. They served their time in the military in places like Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, and more recently Iraq and Afghanistan. Most returned in good health. But an NBC 30 investigation has found that for some soldiers, their service has meant a long and debilitating death sentence with mysterious diseases. "I have good days, I have bad days," said M. Sterry of New Haven, Connecticut. "There were 8 of us that served together. 6 of my friends are dead." She looks healthy, but Sterry is a very sick woman who has no idea how much longer she will live. "I've had 3 heart attacks, 2 heart surgeries. I have chronic headaches, chronic upper respiratory infections. I get pneumonia 2 or 3 times a year," she said. "I have chronic fatigue, joint aches, muscle aches. I have a rash that migrates all over my body." Now, she's a veteran of Daddy Bush's Gulf War. She says the initial symptoms began in Saudi Arabia in September of 1991 while she was serving with the National Guard. 3 years later, after completing her tour of duty and coming back home, the symptoms were still there, but much more severe. Two words. Depleted uranium. There is, of course, there was legislation passed in the Connecticut legislature last year setting up a health registry in Connecticut strictly to keep records on military personnel. That help came, according to the report, that help came too late for David Layton of Naugatuck, a Marine who served in Saudi Arabia in Desert Storm. When he came home, the symptoms he had for quite some time wouldn't go away. His mother, Gail Layton, said that for the next 15 years, she saw her once vital and vibrant son slowly dying before her very eyes. You would have had to have been there during the journey and see him in bed and sweating and in agony. She said her son was a patriot. His dad had been a Marine. She said the federal government did not believe that those coming back became sick because of the conditions in which they served. That was the hardest part, I think, more than anything, to have the DOD, the Department of Defense, and the VA spending so much time and energy trying to deny and discount and discredit some of the people who were doing research. You heard the list of symptoms. And I am blessed with this program insofar as I say it again and again and again because it makes me so proud. We have a great number of highly intelligent individuals, scientists, teachers, professors, people actively involved in the search for knowledge and understanding. Any one of them could probably talk to you a little bit about the effects of radiation poisoning, about the effects of mercury-based vaccines on the neurological system. And the Army looks at one young, wounded officer and says, "Boy, you don't get out of this here Army lessen you cough up $700. Does it make you want to scream? It makes me want to scream. It makes me absolutely crazy. The idea that we would treat our military that way. And an update from our friend Sue on Big Coal River. Eddie Rebrook, is apparently donating the extra money to a woman who lost her home to Katrina because her son helped save his life in Iraq. What do you say about something like that? Good. That's fitting. That's good. That's decent. And he's doing that because he was out there fighting for a government that ignored the victims of Katrina. What a pitiful place this country has been made by that dim-witted, evil little man who inhabits the White House. And the story I mentioned earlier, the little ripples in the pond that George created during his State of the Union address, where he said that we're addicted to foreign oil. Hell yes, we're addicted to foreign oil. Saudi oil minister Ali al-Naimi said that one potential health hazard would be traded for another by asking consumers to give up oil for a less efficient and more costly alternative fuel that would otherwise be uneconomical. What the hell is he talking about? Oh, wait, one health hazard for another. He's talking about nuclear power. Mandating costly alternatives to oil in the name of a cleaner environment could impoverish people and lower living standards. Okay, this is the rotten, mean, nasty portion of Head On with Bob Kincaid for the Wednesday night. I don't much give a damn what happens to the Saudi royal family. A little impoverishment would probably be good for them. A little bean eaten. A little bit of, you know, a few less Mercedes's in the driveway. Of course we're addicted to foreign oil. And our addiction to foreign oil, did you see the story? It turns out now that the Iraqi oil minister was skimming funds from the what oil were they're managing to sell when the insurgents or whomever, or you know, the Bush people, I don't know, are blowing up the pipelines in Iraq. What oil they managed to sell, about half of it is going to people to turn around and fight us. You see? Out of 19 people allegedly on the airplanes on 9/11, how many were Saudis? 17 Saudis, 2 Egyptians? 16 Saudis, 2 Egyptians, and a Yemeni? I forget. I'm not real broken up about the Saudis' future. I don't like people who incite riots around the world. And you do know that's where this whole Muslim cartoon foo-frog comes from. Now, while the wingnuts like O'Reilly and Hannity and that gang are talking about, you know, the barbaric Muslims, blah, 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 there are a couple of things that haven't been taken into account. Now, we had, and most of us, we don't pay any attention to it. It's not part of our world. It's not our gig. So we don't pay so much attention when we hear about, you know, 10,000 people trampled to death during the pilgrimage to Mecca. Right? But there were thousands of people who lost their lives on a pilgrimage that is mandated within the traditions of Islam. Yeah. And it is up to the Saudi government to make sure that that comes off without a hitch. Okay? It just is. The Saudi government, by some sort of decree, are the official keepers of the sacred sites of Islam, and they are so incompetent. These old, greedy, oil-slicked, money-infested freaks can't even manage the pilgrimage. Now, my history of Islam is not so deep as to go back all 1,400 years of Islam's history, but does a disaster that kills a few hundred, few thousand people happen every year for the pilgrimage? I don't think so. Mainly it has to do with Saudi incompetence. Wait a minute. This isn't racism, okay? It really is not. I will sit down and break bread with any of my fellow members of the human race. But the Saudi government is rotten to the core and from the core. And they had disasters during the Hajj. Is that what it is? The Hajj, the pilgrimage? I'm sorry, I don't know. They had life-taking, monstrous disasters. But the world is not allowed to point a blaming finger at the royal house of Ibn Saud. At all. So back up. It's September 30th, 2005, and these cartoons are published in the Yeelands Morgan Posten or whatever? The Yeelands Morgan Post Toasties? I don't know. And there's 10 or 12 cartoons of a dude with a turban on, and they say, well, it's Muhammad. Now, last I checked, Mr. Eastman wasn't running around the Middle East taking photographs of either Jesus or Muhammad, and we have no freaking idea what either one of them looked like. So that being the case, you know, a cartoon is...
But what I'm getting at here is it was September 30th when these things were posted, and they're rioting in Gaza and Damascus and Pakistan and I don't know, maybe the only Muslim in Antarctica is rioting all by himself right now, for all I know. I don't know. But that's October, November, December, January. That's 4 months. Now, this is, you know, we got the internets and stuff, man. And you're telling me it takes 4 months for some arguably insulting cartoons to make it from Denmark to Gaza? Only on camelback! Something ain't right here. Something is not right here. Somebody whipped somebody into a frenzy. This is calculated from the get-go. If you read the story of the genesis of the cartoons in the Yeelan's Morning Post Toasty, you'll find that it was fixed. Ostensibly, it started out because somebody wanted to write a book, a children's book, about Islam and couldn't find an illustrator willing to draw the pictures so that they could do the children's book. See, that's where the con starts. So then the Yeelan's Morning Post Toasty says, well, we'll get 10 people to 10 cartoonists to draw pictures of Muhammad because things are just too damn dull here in Denmark right now and we need some rioting Muslims. And so on September 30th, they're published. This was a calculated act on someone's part to do something that they knew. That they knew. The cartoons themselves presaged the fact that they knew it would have this impact. There is enough racism in this entire Muslim cartoon foo-frah to do the world for a couple of damn decades. Because it is presaged on a prediction by enlightened Westerners that if they can just poke the Muslims with a stick a little bit, that they'll go out and burn something, or behead somebody, or... Does this make any sense? This was a deliberate act. It was a deliberate act like, and there's a picture, I noticed there's a picture of this at comearmageddon.blogspot.com. It was as deliberate an act as putting a replica of an execution device in a mason jar full of something that purported to be pee-pee. And calling it art. The artist, being an artist, knew that he would provoke and inflame passions. Now, I could go into the Welcome to Art History 101. We will now analyze and critique the true meaning and background of Piss Christ. But there's not a lot of point in that. Except to say that it was a deliberate act meant to inflame a bunch of knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing freaks into picketing in Cincinnati or Poughkeepsie or something. You see. Same thing in Denmark. So they deliberately do this thing on September 30th, 2005, and roll up one copy of the Yeelan's Morning Post Toasty, put it in a jar and give it to some dude with a camel to ride south for Gaza from Denmark. Because the internets apparently were not used. It took 4 months. So now we got to back up to the Saudis. Who is the keeper? Who is the holy, sovereign, charged, exalted keeper of the Grand Mosque? Royal House of Ibn Saud, anyone? Sure. Who needed to keep? Who are the business partners of the Bush family? Royal House of Ibn Saud. Again. Bing, bing. One more, you get the canned ham.
So now connect the dots. There is a tremendous anti-war sentiment in the United States. There is a rising tide of people saying, no, not in our name. You're not going to go out and slaughter innocent civilians in our name. I had a news story, it's in my stack for today. Several people in Afghanistan, south of Kabul, I believe it was, were slaughtered because they were rioting over these stupid damn cartoons. This is not a spontaneous act. I mean, this is Richard Dreyfuss in Jaws. This is not a boating accident. This didn't just happen. Oh, I don't just do things. The Bush family doesn't just do things. They got on the horn to the Saudis. The Saudis found themselves a wandering imam who, you know, needed a bath and a new robe or something. Hey, look at these pictures of the Prophet. Holy cow! And the next thing, he's having a frenzy, and he tells an imam, and another imam tells two imams, and those two imams tell two imams. The next thing you know, they're rioting in Pakistan and burning stuff in Gaza and demanding the head of the editor of the Jillin's Morning Post, Toasty. Why? Because it's becoming a little less than fashionable to hate Arabic people in the United States of America, so they need to be reanimalized. They need to be re-depersonalized. They need to be re-dehumanized. And they need to die. You think I'm crazy? You think I'm just making this stuff up? Connect the damn dots. Connect the dots. We're dealing with killers. We're dealing with people capable of wholesale murder based on the shabbiest, flimsiest of lies. It's all wrestling. This is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Go out across the evening water, smuggling guns and arms across the Spanish border. The wind whips up the waves aloud. The ghost moon sails among the clouds. Tells the rifles in silver on the border.
You can't see my scars. You can't see children's scars.
You always put it in the back of your mind that it couldn't happen to you. You wouldn't let it happen.
Starting a new life, thanks to help, because if help wasn't there for me, I'd be out on the street. We want you.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll
supposedly they say they believe in them. You know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, do they, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? Now, why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at 3 times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Bob, this is the last half hour of our Wednesday night prayer meeting. Phone number, if you've you got a last shot here if you want it, 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Bob in North Dakota has been waiting. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hey, hello.
How you holding up?
Oh, I'm just holding up.
It's all we can do.
What?
It's all we can do.
Yeah, well, there's something else. You know, what, darling? Oh, Glenda, she won't speak to you, yeah?
I hope it's nothing I said.
No, it's nothing you said. It's something that she just won't get on the air, because that's like Agnes got on the air and talked to some people, and she was, you know, speaking from her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Speak from your heart. And sometimes just speak out of anger, and that's a good thing. I don't know. It's confusing to me. It really is, because we're fighting our own brothers. We're in a civil war, but it's not like the last one, where we're bloodletting at Gettysburg, okay?
Yeah.
It's not that kind of, it's like, we're trying to open their eyes, and they're just keeping them shut and putting their fingers in their ears like they did with Randy. With la, 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 la.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to hear it, okay? And the only thing you can do is shout and shout and shout, and they just look at you and go, la, 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 la. They will never open their eyes until it hurts them.
Yeah, until it's right on top of them, until it's in their front yard, on their porch.
Right, but guess what? When it's on their front porch, good God, son, we've been swept into the swamp.
Yeah, well, yeah. When it's on the Lala's front porch, the lines have pretty well been overrun, and all the, you know, all the retreat positions have been abandoned.
And Coretta is gone.
Yeah.
A very beautiful human being. A most wonderful human being. And what did they do? They stuck their fingers in her ears. They went, la, 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 la. Okay?
Same thing all over again. Yep. You're right. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah. They stuck their fingers in her ears and went, la, la, la. And they just dissed her. They dissed me. They dissed all of men that ever fought for this country, not for that flag. The flag doesn't mean anything anymore. They took that away from us, too, remember? They wrapped themselves in it, and they got the... the bunny pants boy bouncing on stage with his big ears up, listening to everybody, wanting to hear what they got to say. Well, I hope the hell he's listening to this old Marine, because I love you and your family as much as I love my family. And I care for this nation. And I will fight to the death for this nation. I will do that. But I will not just... what is that? I think it was some... I don't know. Some Mexican general. No, he wasn't. He was a revolutionary that said, it is better to die on your feet, boy, than to live on your knees.
And I subscribe to that.
Yes, I do too. And I heard that from you the first time I ever heard your voice. And I, please forgive me, I have heard beautiful voices. And I love your program because you bring them on. You bring on beautiful voices from around the world. And heard one tonight, and she was so lovely. Oh, gosh, she came from the old country.
Oh, wasn't Sue wonderful?
Yes, she was. And I love her as I love all my brothers and sisters around this planet, whether they be, what do they call them? Huh? Ragheads, Hodges.
Oh.
And what kind of names? We call them gooks. We call them dinks. We call them zips. We called them names. We used names against them because we couldn't see them as human.
Well, that, if you were allowed to see them as human, Bob, it was a hell of a lot harder to kill them. I mean, that's part and parcel of the game, isn't it?
No. That's what you do to some other being. That's what you do to a cockroach. You see it on the floor, or it's just a cockroach, you'll stomp on it. Silverfish.
Yeah.
You guys got silverfish down there, right?
A little further south, but I'm familiar with them.
Yeah, and they're just bugs.
Right.
And they're just something you want to kill. And so you get somebody like, what, that roach spray guy up there? And
Tom DeLay.
Oh, that one, the bug spray DeLay. And there's the other one, that frisk fella. Yeah?
Yeah.
I like about 2 seconds with him in the dark room. No, dark room, nothing but me and him. He can take any weapon he wants in there, and I will go in there.
Barehanded.
No, I just go in there. Bare naked. But I'm not afraid of my sexuality, and I'm not a stalker. But you said Bob's a stalker? I thought... Good God, girl, I'm not a stalker.
No, that wasn't you. That was me.
Oh, you're a stalker?
Well, no, we she played some music last night that made me feel like a stalker.
Oh, well, who are you stalking?
Agnes.
I hope you're stalking Agnes.
Well, you know, it's been known to happen, Bob, but the restraining order wore off.
Bob,
hold on.
Chase a rabbit.
No, wait. Let me explain. Okay. I had picked a song.
Oh.
That I meant to go out to the listeners. Nights are forever without you. You're our family.
Oh, I know you're.
And when I pick music, I pick music...
In advance.
In advance that, you know, I'm thinking of something. And so I played this after a young lady called to the show. And Bob looked at me like I had lost my mind. He said, "What are you doing, Agnes? She's going to think I'm stalking her."
Bah!
And I said, no. This is mine. So I'm taking the blame for England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Okay.
It was all my fault.
Yeah, that's how that all works out.
Okay, that works with me. I love you folks. I really do. And I'm sorry I just jumped in there and Hey, I thought, goodness gracious, I wasn't trying to stalk her. I was, you know, I just...
No, see, that's the problem. You're Bob and I'm Bob, and it makes things a little confusing sometimes.
Too many Bobs in this doggone world, but you know what? I won't say it, but somebody said, Bob up and kiss my whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
And Bob gets up and says, kiss my whatever.
Exactly.
And this is one Bob talking to another Bob. You got an Agnes, I got a Glenda, and we have...
Yeah, but see, you've got a Glenda the Good.
Oh, Glenda the Good, yes. Oh, no, she's... Glenda is the good witch of the, what, West?
North. Glenda the Good Witch of the North, that's what she was.
Well, North, yeah.
Yeah, see?
North of you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, but she won't speak to you. Not on the radio.
You know, there are several people out there that are in the listening audience that are that way, Bob.
But she loves your voice.
And, I cherish our silent listeners as much as I do our more loquacious ones.
You know what I want to ask this audience, this one, audience, your audience, okay, because I try to stay off the radio. I really never want to get into this thing, but I want to ask every listener out there, you send Bob Kincaid. I mean, there's got to be a million of you, right? Okay? You send Bob Kincaid at Head on Radio $1 a month, okay? For 100 months. If there's a million, you'll have $100 million in Bob's box, and Bob will do the right thing with it. He'll build... not an empire, but he will build a radio station that will have power to get around this planet, and he will use it for good, because I hear it in his voice, and it's in his heart, it's in his mind, and it's in that thing that nobody thinks we got, it's a soul. It's in Martin Luther King. The people were poor, very poor, and they put everything into him because he had a voice, and Bob has a voice. So I'm just demanding it. I mean, I'm demanding it that, you know, every person that can hear this message, put a buck in Bob's box, put a buck in Ben's box, put a buck in somebody's box that isn't George Bush's or the whatever. Okay.
Yeah. What? I know exactly what you're talking about, Bob, because you know, our good friend Joe Vecchio mentioned it a couple of nights ago on his Cup of Joe report. There's no nobility in being broke.
Mm-mm.
You know, Rush Limbaugh gets $25 million per year.
Yeah, but who does he get it from? Scum.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about scum. He's getting scum, and he's getting scum and skim, and he's stealing from everything that's decent. I'm asking decent folk. Put a buck in the mail. I don't know what your address is, and I don't care. If I can do it with PayPal, I'll send you a buck. I'll send you $10. I'll send you $20. Hell, I'd send you $100 a month if I knew where the hell to send it. So, okay.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and say that it wouldn't be welcome, Bob. I've resisted doing that kind of thing, and it's my own psychology. I was groomed to be a Southern right wing evangelist, and I was supposed to go into the ministry, and I rejected it because I saw all the graft and the greed and the corruption, the Oral Robertses, right, and the Pat Robertsons, and
yeah,
and,
see, that's your problem. See, okay, now we need to take a buck from Granny and from Grandpa like me and Granny Glenda. We'll send you a buck or two a month. Oh, Granny Glenda, she don't like being called Granny. You know what the bad thing about being Grandpa is? Do you really know what the bad thing about being a Grandpa is?
What is that?
You got to sleep with Grandma every night.
Man, you're... Bob, brother, first rule of holes, when you're in one, quit digging.
Oh, I dug this hole a long time ago. She knows that. I've said that so many times. I love her dearly, and I will go to the grave loving her. Because I'm a Democrat. I am responsible, and I love this woman. What? Oh, she says after 35 years, I better.
I'd say.
Yeah, well, it's 35 years, she says. Hey, I don't keep track. I just love her every day. She's just as beautiful as she was the day that...
Well, see, that's those. You know, Bob, what you're talking about right there are the real family values.
You got it. You finally got it. You got the message earlier. You really did. You finally started hammering on it. You said, okay, what you said, go back and listen to what Bob said to Bob. Not this Bob, but what you said to yourself. Okay? You got the message. It's not... Oh, goodness. I'm kind of confused right now.
That's okay.
It's just... It's a real simple message. It's kind of like the same one that Martin gave us, okay? It's not that we should, you know, have more than the other or better than the other or think of ourselves as better than the other, but that he was a mighty voice that went out and he stood and died for garbage collectors, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was killed by the United States government for garbage collectors. Yeah?
Yeah.
And,
for standing up for working people.
And yesterday, they buried his bride. His love, like mine, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Uh-oh. She lied. Brenda lied. It's 36 years in June.
35. Okay, we're at 35 and a half. But yeah, you're so right, Bob. How many of us on this side of the fight? We're not out there fighting to get rich. We're not out there fighting to be better or bigger or meaner or faster than anybody. We want to live with our neighbors. We want to raise our kids. We want to give them a good education. We want to make sure that they're healthy enough to make it to adulthood. We want them to participate in this America and participate in this world. And what we object to is having people throwing rocks in the road in front of us. And that's what they're doing, Bob. They're throwing rocks in the road.
No, they're throwing A-bombs. They're throwing lies. They're throwing untruths. They're throwing everything. The things that they said. Did you listen to Mike last night, the king?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
And what did he say? I'm a white man, okay? And I was born prejudiced because my parents, I wasn't born prejudiced, but they taught me prejudice, you know, and the little black Sambo thing and all the tar baby stuff and the briar patch.
Yeah, it's all learned behavior, Bob.
Right, and they teach you to hate because that's the only thing that they can do, because they hate someone that's less than them, and they feel less than the other person. Everybody feels less than somebody else, okay?
Yeah.
But when you've been in the briar patch, and you've been there with Tar Baby, and you know, you've been in that situation, you come out of it with a different point of view. You look at the world and you say, no, there's a, it's just a trick. They're lying you into their way of thinking, whoever they are, but... And it doesn't matter if they're the Illuminati or whatever, okay? They're people that believe themselves better than their neighbor, okay?
Yeah.
They may be Republican, they may be Democrat. I mean, I don't know. I look at Byron Dorgan and Kent Conrad, and I say, boys, I was there when you boys were running for those offices. You came to me, and you told me you were going to do all these wonderful things when you got there. And right now, they do not represent me. They are not representative.
No, we have a right to call those chips in.
Right. No, you got a right to call them what they are. liars, thieves, and cowards, okay?
Yeah.
Like Robert Byrd, the master statesman. He's a liar, a coward, and...
Well, you know, you might, and I'm glad you brought it up, I heard through the grapevine that the reason he did what he did with Judge Alito was because it was what he had to do in order to cut a deal that would save our National Guard base in Charleston. Now, I find that difficult to believe, but that level of machination I have no use for in American politics. Hey, Bob, we're out of time.
Okay.
Got to hit it. Take care.
I'll see you later.
Later now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's pretty much it for the program tonight. And what I said to Bob is absolutely true. There are far more people who listen to this program who don't want to pick up the phone. They want to hear the people want to hear the conversation of others because they already know what is in their hearts, and they want to know that others share their convictions and share their feelings, share their yearnings, share their dreams. And so, for those of you who help out in that regard, so many thanks, so many many thanks. I can sit here and lose my mind a little bit. It's another night. I didn't get a third of the way into the stack. But we hit most of the high points. This asbestos bill that's going down the pike, if you've got a minute, let your senators know. Either that or just give up. I refuse to do so. I'm disgusted with Byrd. I'm disgusted with Rockefeller. But I'm still going to let them know that, you know, something like this asbestos bill, it's poison. I'm sick of the corporate welfare. I got a story here in the stack about in Washington State, it costs the people of Washington State just in state funds, not adding in the federal stuff, but in state funds, $12 million a year to carry Walmart employees on public assistance health care. I want Walmart employees to have health care. I want my family to have health care. I want your family to have health care. I want every single solitary American to have health care. But you know what? When you get up and you go to work every day and you bust your ass, there are some things that come with you trading away a portion of your life, which is what you do when you go to work. And one of those things is a reasonable expectation that when you're sick, you can go to the doctor. And when your kids are crying in the night and they've got a high fever and you got to get something done about it, you can go to the hospital. But the Walmarts of the world are more than happy to sit there like a lamprey latched onto a bigger fish and just suck the life out of it because they're too mean and hateful and damn cruel and lazy to provide for the people who are giving up portions of their lives to enrich the Walton heirs. And the same thing applies to this asbestos bill. This is corporate welfare at its absolute worst. So, ring up your senators. Tell them it's poison. Tell them you expect a no vote on closing the courthouse doors. Tell them you expect a no vote on just throwing away an over 200-year-old working, effective judicial system. This has nothing to do with the victims, this asbestos bill. But it has everything in the world about propping up Halliburton and W.R. Grace and Dick Cheney's deferred compensation plan. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by our good friend Brian Reznor. The studio was engineered by our friend Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch maintains the stream that you listen to, as well as the archives of this and many other fine liberal talk programs. He's got a fundraiser going. Do the right thing. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Many thanks to our friend Shelby at RadioPower.org for the replay of this program, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at RadioPower.org. The program is made possible every night by our good friends at the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.